Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:08 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time. Today is February 6th. Well, today we've had, I think, the response in terms of the VIX index to some of the machinations that were going on in the exchange-traded note section yesterday. So, for example, XIV has been halted, and that is not the only one of the short VIX ETFs, or ETNs, excuse me, that have been halted. What happened last night was really quite interesting in terms of the aftermarket move, because the VIX index had gone up to 37, but in after hours trading it turned out that the XIV had only gone up about 25%, whereas the VIX had more than doubled. So there was catch up in the after hours, and the short ETF went down by approximately 90%. So they have closed it, and that's obviously bad news for anyone who is holding it. They're not going to get the kind of profits they are. Well, they're definitely getting losses. Anyone who was short it is not going to get the profits that they were hoping for. Well, that contributed to the VIX moving up to new highs, up to 50 at one point in here today, but not holding them because a lot of the short covering that was going on in terms of those short VIX positions was in fact removed from the market. And then we've had the volatility coming back down. So when we look at the S&P 500, it finished in positive territory. It got as low as 2600. And in this process, it's unwound much of its overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and in fact that's a pretty significant bounce from the region of the trend mean in here today. But this is a large downward dynamic. The last time we've seen downward dynamics of anything like this magnitude was in 2014 and 2015, and what that contributed to was a loss of momentum, a lengthier period of ranging. It lasted for approximately 15 months before we had a return to a trending environment overall. And of course that trending environment was associated with Trump's administration coming through, with the economy picking up, with the prospect of rate hikes being rather slow, and the potential for tax cuts, and the tax cuts getting passed resulted in the acceleration that we had from the middle of last year. So we've had a significant bounce today, and now the chances are that we're going to have some ranging. Even back, if I go all the way back and look at the flash crash back in 2010, it's probably worth zooming in on that, we can see that we had a very sharp drawdown. I was fortunate at the time to be short the Nasdaq before the crash, and I'm short I was short the Hang Seng until a couple hours ago, and obviously my stop was triggered, I'm no longer short the Hang Seng. But what we can see from the S&P 500 is that it pulled back, it bounced very impressively, came back to test the low over the course of the next few months, and eventually this volatile ranging phase gave way to the market pushing up to new highs. But it was ranging for 6 months, and that was from a substantially lower level, less than half of what the value is of the index today. So this is a meaningful pullback. It might have been initiated on the back of purely financial engineering reasons because of this upset in volatility trading, some of the unwinding of risk parity trades, and people heading to the exit in the ETF market, with robo-advisor sites going offline for a brief period of time yesterday, which obviously contributed to a panicky environment for anyone who had accounts with them. So all of those factors have, I think, damaged sentiment. But nonetheless, when we look at the Nasdaq, for example, we can see what people are most interested in buying, because we've had substantial rebounds in a significant number of the technology shares. So, for example, Apple was up nearly 4%, and then you had Nvidia up 5%, Micron Technologies up 11%, Lam Research bounced back pretty impressively as well, and Netflix was up 4%. But I think Netflix is one of those shares that really is worth keeping a very close eye on. It has surged to new highs over the last 3 weeks, and that was on the back of reasonably impressive earnings. But nonetheless, this is a share that is trading on a multiple of 99 on an estimated PE basis for the end of this year. So it's already got a lot of growth already baked into the price, and it is substantially above the region of the trend mean in here. One of the reasons, in fact, perhaps the only reason, that Netflix can achieve this kind of valuation is because of access to cheap liquidity. And it's very similar, it's a similar story for Tesla. Tesla is obviously much more capital intensive, so it doesn't have quite the same overextension right now, and I think it was probably more comparable to Netflix back in 2013 and 2014 before it had spent all this money on the Gigafactory. But both shares share the characteristic that they are double B rated credits, and that they survive on access to cheap liquidity because neither of them actually make any free cash flow. So what that means is that when we look at the high yield spreads, which probably right now are a better representation of the condition in the credit markets with regard to the energy sector rather than specifically technology, but at the spread did rally yesterday, and it is now back testing the region of the trend mean. We also should pay attention to the fact that that spread was breaking upwards in 2014, but we really didn't get a meaningful loss of momentum until 2015 in the markets. So it isn't simply that we get the downtrend broken that is going to result in a meaningful top in stock markets, but rather that it represents a significant lead indicator. And we've had a clear downward dynamic on stock markets, and we are going to be in for more, I think, two-way action. It would probably be the best way to think about it. But then, of course, we also have the fact that some of the, or I guess the biggest source of selling pressure has been in the large cap constituents of the major indices. So when, for example, we look at Brazil, it barely moved, and it was well off its lows in here today, up almost 2,000 points. Now, that doesn't, I think, negate the fact that it is quite overextended relative to the trend mean, and that it is due some consolidation, and it could quite easily get consolidation. But the reality is that its performance, particularly that it did not fall aggressively, would suggest that there isn't a great deal of leveraged traders participating in it. Well, Japan does have more leveraged trader participation, so the Nikkei pulled back sharply yesterday. But it is going to be in positive territory tomorrow, having now completed a reversion back towards the mean. Then, when we look at the TOPIX index, something I was writing about perhaps 2 weeks ago was that in order for a base formation completion to be credible, then it has to hold. And the TOPIX index broke out to new, well, it's more than 20-year highs in just the last few weeks, and it pulled back violently yesterday, or indeed, well, it was this morning. So now we're going to get, more than likely, it's going to be some form of consolidation in the region of the upper side of this long-term range, and it has already unwound its overextension relative to the trend mean. If the market simply goes sideways for the next few months, then that will increase the potential for it to break upwards, and that would then, I think, lend a great deal of credence to the view that Japan has completed its generational long base formation and that we are back in a secular bull market. Interestingly, the second section, which is so often a leader, also pulled back. It was off its lows in here today. This reaction is somewhat larger, but reasonably similar to the one that we saw back in April, although it is certainly faster. But it has unwound most of its overextension relative to the trend mean. If this index finds support here and holds the majority of this advance, then the trend will remain reasonably consistent, and the likelihood of it pushing through to the 8,000 level at some point later this year will have been bolstered. Then, when we look at, for example, India, well, the index also pulled back, but it was well off its lows in here today, and again, this is further evidence of I think that the fact that these factors that were driving markets lower yesterday are uniquely with regard to leverage and derivative contracts in the USA, not specifically about the global economy and or indeed about the domestic US economy, but it is going to have an effect on sentiment for Wall Street, but less of an effect on sentiment elsewhere. And when we look at the Chinese market, and specifically the CSI 300, which is the index that has futures on it, well, it was in negative territory, but not in the same kind of dynamic way that we saw in other markets. Now, it is somewhat overbought, and there was, when I was on Bloomberg TV yesterday, there were rumors that the Chinese were moving in to support the market and were ordering brokerages to buy more shares. That would have helped to moderate the pace of the decline, but it is overbought relative to the trend mean, and it is due some consolidation, and I think that is what we are getting. Then when we look at the resources sector, and the FTSE 350 is mining sector is, I think, one of the better benchmarks for the global resources sector. It was in negative territory, but when we look at the daily chart, then it was well off its low. It's finding support in the region of the upper side of the underlying trading range, and if it can hold this level around 18,000, well, then we're still in a reasonably consistent trending environment. And there was a news item yesterday where the four major miners, BHP, Billiton, Rio Tinto, Anglo, and Glencore, are making an additional $87 million a day, I think was the figure, that they are basically making money faster than they know what to do with it. And that's a pretty benign environment from the perspective of the mining sector, considering that we are still in a period of synchronized global economic expansion. Nonetheless, when we think about where are we in terms of this cycle, then we are probably now in a more corrective phase for Wall Street. And that is, I think, most particularly going to contribute to some form of rotation. Betting on the continued outperformance of shares like Netflix or Amazon, considering that they are still so overextended relative to the trend mean, doesn't appear to be the most risk-adjusted way of participating in this market. Meanwhile, the potential for the resources sector to play catch-up, especially considering that we are still in a period of synchronized economic expansion, would have, I think, is probably the most likely scenario. Then, when we look at what is going on in the bond markets, well, we had a very big downside key day reversal yesterday on the US 10-year Treasury yield, and it recouped a good share of that in here today, taking the yield back up to 2.8%. When we look at that on a weekly basis, this breakout to new recovery highs, that levels that we haven't seen really since 2014, has been sustained. And what I find interesting is that people seem to have a blind spot to the very simple fact that the Federal Reserve is in the process of reducing the size of its balance sheet, and it is doing so on a very slow basis, but it is reducing the size of its balance sheet. And when we look at that on a weekly basis, it doesn't really show up very well. But they are reducing the size of the balance sheet, and the Treasury is about to start printing more bonds. So, on the one hand, you have the biggest buyer buying fewer, and you have the issuer that is going to be issuing more. And generally speaking, that contributes to lower prices and higher yields. And I think that is what we are seeing in the bond markets. All other factors being just put to the side, these are very simple mechanics of any market. So that is a clear indication that yields should be pushing higher. Eventually, that will contribute to an inflationary outcome. If you are stimulating on a deficit spending spree in the mature phase of an economic expansion with zero or at least a job for anyone who wants one, well, then eventually that is going to contribute to inflationary pressures. That is what the bond market charts would appear to be telling us. And it would then, therefore, then I think be a logical conclusion that 3% is not going to be a long-term hurdle for the 10-year yield, but rather that it is probably going to get taken out at some point this year. And what that is probably going to contribute to is it's there is going to be a lot of discussion, and we're already getting this kind of discussion that this was a proverbial bolt from the blue yesterday. There wasn't any. You've got lots of financial pundits saying that there's nothing about this is economic. They are refusing to countenance the fact that it is going to be damaging to sentiment, and that the most likely scenario is that we're going to have ranging. Now, let's just say, for example, that that is wrong, and that we're going to have markets accelerate higher from here. Well, then we are really going to be talking about trend endings. And I think that that is a very important characteristic, that if the market and it could quite easily rally all the way back up towards the peak and fail. I think that that is the most likely scenario, that generally speaking, after a big pullback like this, where people don't have a specific reason, then you will have people that come in and buy the dip, and that's exactly what happened in here today. Then that dip will continue higher, but in order for it to continue to justify additional high prices, higher prices, then it needs progressively more people to support the price. And there will be enough of people that have had a traumatic experience that it's going to have more difficulty sustaining the move up and out of this range, and it is going to take at least a few months to rebuild confidence. And I think that that is the base case. If that does not occur, if the market goes straight up in a V-shaped reversal and pushes on to new high ground, which I believe is extremely unlikely, well then we are definitely in bubble territory. We're no longer at the beginning of the third psychological perception stage, we're at the end. That's I think a very important characteristic. Now there was another two charts that I think are really quite interesting right now. One of them is consumer staples. And consumer staples trended beautifully consistently from 2009 all the way through until pretty much the beginning of 2015. And then it went sideways, and then it pulled back. It pulled back into the underlying range in the middle of, or just after the middle of 2015, and that was the first big trend inconsistency. And since then, the pace of the advance has moderated. In other words, it's lost momentum. You've had larger reactions, you've had failed upside breaks. The reactions have pulled back into the underlying trading ranges, but the progression of higher reaction lows has been sustained. Then we've had another failed upside break last week. We had downside follow-through this week, and it is now finding support around 550. We have to at least consider the potential that eventually this loss of momentum is going to give way to a top formation. And once the progression of higher reaction lows is broken, then this uptrend will be over. And that has been such a powerful constituent of the main part of this advance. It has probably been that the technology sector has been the cream on top, but the consumer staples contribution to the advance going from 200 to 600 in the last, well, just less than a decade has been a stalwart in terms of the performance, and it was certainly one of the primary performers in the early stages of this advance, and leaders tend to lead in both directions. So I continue to monitor this chart because it is it was such a reliable early leader, and if it does in fact break down, well then I think that is going to be a source of worry. But then you have the consumer discretionary sector, and that has Apple as one of its constituents. So that went from a low of 124, and it's currently at 832, and it was well off its lows in here today. But you clearly have evidence of acceleration. The pace of the advance definitely picked up from the middle of last year, and now we've had the first reaction. It's, I think, the base case story would have to be that we are now in a process of mean reversion and that ranging is more likely than trending. But a sustained move below the trend mean would be required to question the consistency of the advance. And I think this is another trend that is worth watching. Disney just announced its earnings after the close, and it was well off its low in here today, and it had a big or it had a massive reaction against the prevailing trend in 2015. It's been largely range bound since. It continues to hold this region around $100, and as long as it is doing that, then the likelihood is that we may, or I think perhaps rather than likelihood, potential is that it may be able to break on the upside. When we look at Starbucks, then it also pulled back violently in 2015, and it's been going sideways since, and it is bouncing today from the lower side of that range. So when we look at these kinds of shares, they have, well, one of the maxims from the chart seminar is that these lengthier trading ranges after consistent trends are seldom reliable continuation patterns. And that is something that I think we have to at least begin to countenance, that the fact that these early leaders are going sideways is not particularly great news. But if they break down, well, then that is going to be, I think, perhaps a lead indicator for trouble in future. So they are worth monitoring. Now, meanwhile, when we look at what has been going on in Europe today, the FTSE 100 has broken its progression of higher reaction lows and come back to test the 7,000 level. 7,000 represents the upper side of this long-term base formation. And as long as that is holding, we can give the benefit of the doubt to this breakout holding, and that we are still in a relatively benign environment, but the 7,000 level really should hold. Then when we look at the Eurostoxx index, then it has pulled back from this 400 level and it is back below the trend mean. And then it should be bouncing in the next few days if this reaction is going to be reasonably short term and form the consolidation in the region of this 400 level. One of the things that is acting as a headwind for European markets or Eurozone markets has been the strength of the euro. And it has been consolidating here around this 125 area, and it was in mildly positive territory in here today. The reality is that this continues to look like a bullish pattern overall. It is somewhat overbought in the short term, but as long as it's holding the 120 area, then this continues to look like a recovery trajectory. And considering that it sold off incredibly aggressively in 2014 and early 2015, then it is simply pushing back up into this overhead trading range. And the likelihood is that 120 is a new floor. Then when we look at the gold price, it was in negative territory in here today by about $16. So with some of the stress coming out of the market, then gold is pulling back in here. When we look at it on this weekly term, or this weekly basis, it is right in the region of the upper side of an 18-month range. As long as it can hold the majority of this advance, and most particularly find support in the region of the trend mean, then the potential is that it will be able to push up and out of this range at some point over the course of the next few months. But it is going to need to find support in order to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Interestingly, platinum was pretty steady in here today and barely moved, but it is also in the region of previous peaks. And so far, it has been not much more than a consolidation around this $1,000 area, but it does need to sustain a move up and out of it, of the short-term range, to confirm we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Meanwhile, the copper price, which was quite steady yesterday, was in mildly negative territory in here today. But then I think the more important point is that it continues to hold the progression of higher reaction lows. So when we look at the environment, certainly this today was not nearly as scary a day as yesterday for the majority of investors. But we are in a corrective phase, and the likelihood is that we are in for substantially more ranging than trending for the broad indices, I think, over the course of the next few weeks and indeed months. And with that, I think I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.